Check 20. Text 20. Rajastam obhyam akshitam vimudham mana atmana yache dharanaya dhiro hanti ya tatkritam malam. One's mind is always agitated by the passionate mode of material nature, bewildered by the ignorant mode of nature, but one can rectify such conceptions by the relation of Vishnu and thus become pacified by cleansing the dirty things created by them. Purport. Persons generally conducted by the modes of passion and ignorance cannot be bona fide candidates for being situated in the transcendental stage of God realization. Only persons conducted by the mode of goodness can have knowledge of the Supreme Truth. Effects of the modes of passion and ignorance are manifested by too much hankering after wealth and women. And those who are too much after wealth and women can rectify their leanings only by constant remembrance of Vishnu in his potential impersonal feature. Generally, the impersonalists and monists are influenced by modes of passion and ignorance. Such impersonalists think of themselves as liberated souls, but they have no knowledge of the transcendental feature of the Absolute Truth. Actually, they are impure in heart on account of being devoid of knowledge of the personal feature of the Absolute Truth. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is said that after many hundreds of births, the impersonal philosopher surrenders unto the personality of Godhead to acquire such a qualification of God realization. In the personal feature, the neophyte impersonalist is given a chance to realize the relation of the Lord in everything by the philosophy of pantheism. Pantheism, this higher status, does not permit the student to form an impersonal conception of the Absolute, but it extends the conception of the Absolute Truth into the field of so-called material energy. Everything created by the material energy can be dovetailed with the Absolute by an attitude of service, which is the essential part of living energy. The pure devotee of the Lord knows the art of converting everything into its spiritual existence by the service attitude, and only in that devotional way can the theory of pantheism be perfected. There's a little technical this section here, but remember that Marge Prickett, his recommendation by Sukadeva Goswami is to meditate on Krishna. And therefore, Sukadeva Goswami was going to explain to him the Srimad Bhagavatam to increase his devotion and faith. And therefore, he described some favorable conditions. And we went through the favorable conditions, beginning with leaving home, the end of life, and to try to free oneself of the desire connected with the situation that one has created for himself to live in. And leaving home, he should be sober, he should be celibate, he should not go to a holy place and create again for himself a material situation. That's why you see how, you know, it's recommended that people who are actually serious about spiritual life live in Vrindavan, you know, without any external environment for their sense. The Goswamis lived under a tree every night. And then at the time of the six Goswamis, they started the system of bhajan kutiyas, or bhajan kuti, to protect themselves from the wild animals or something, some system. This is a system, and Madhukari, living so simply. Not again reaching out into the environment to organize it in any way whatsoever to nourish the concept that I am the enjoyer and I am the controller. Not in any way. That was the system, and it was described, lonely place, sacred place, purifying the mind by transcendental a sound vibration, which gives one the strength to control the senses, but also the mind at that point, that materially absorbed mind, it most effectively can be purified and controlled by meditation on Vishnu. The word was actually given very nice. Vishnu mana yatra pasidati, that it becomes reconciled or satisfied only when the mind is absorbed ultimately in Vishnu, who Prabhupada said is the last subject of meditation. Ultimately, Vishnu or Krishna means reality. And to not see Krishna is illusion. Ultimately, what is there is Krishna. Plus, Krishna and Krishna's energy. And when one desires sense gratification, then we've come under the influence of the material energy, which transforms Krishna's energy in a way to look like it's not Krishna's but ours, so we can have that sense of enjoyment. The sense of enjoyment has to entail some sense of superiority or greatness, which is an illusion. And therefore, if you have that desire to facilitate it, Krishna transfers the material energy so that you look like you're the controller and the enjoyer. This is the what happens. So the mind ultimately can be only satisfied in its real position, which is Krishna's service. And therefore, only when the mind is actually meditating on Vishnu can it be reconciled, pacified. So, Sukadeva Goswami is explaining that, and he continues to now explain that point about meditating on Vishnu. And he describes how, what is one's mind in the material world? Mana akshiptam raja. It becomes agitated by passion, and vimoha tamo bhyam becomes bewildered by ignorance. Agitated and bewildered. This is the nature of the mind. And such a mind which is agitated and bewildered can't see the absolute truth. Avritam jnana etena jnaninas nityavarana. The passion and attachment, it covers knowledge, it covers perception. It's exactly those material desires that are the root cause of the illusion of the material world. Icha dvesha samutena dvanda mohena bharata. That the duality, that there's something separate from Krishna, comes specifically from our material desires. Icha dvesha, desire and hate, passion and ignorance. Jayato Vishyam Pumsa, Sango Sanjayate, Kama, Kama Krodha Vajayate, and bewilderment. So this is the position. And therefore, one has to rectify this for spiritual realization. And there it describes, Yache, it gets rectified, Dharanaya, by the conception of Vishnu, by seeing truth. And what's truth? Truth is that everything is Krishna's energy. So he's going to get into now this explanation of how to rectify the consciousness by seeing reality. It's a little bit of an imposition in one sense. You see the material energy in relationship to God. You know, so you see the rivers as the veins of God, and, you know, the sun and the moon are his two eyes, and the trees are his hair. But in one sense, that conception, although it's kalpana, although it's a sense of imagination, in a sense, it's a higher conception of reality than knowing what a tree is and, you know, river, and seeing it separate from God. Because ultimately, the ultimate reality is that everything is God's energy. So by seeing it in that way, you're actually beginning to see the truth. And in the same sense, because you're relating it to something which you view in a superior way, which is matter, which is your standard of greatness, so to speak, then it starts to develop a sense of devotion, and one becomes rectified. So this is what he's going to recommend here. The meditation will purify one of material consciousness, the consciousness of wanting to enjoy separate from God. And it will invoke within one a sense of attachment for Krishna, the desire to be his servant, which is the pure state of the living entity. It's one's, it's what one actually is. We are actually Krishna's servants. That's what we are. We're made of Krishna's energy, and we're made for his service. And therefore, that's our ultimate duty or dharma, because our duty is dependent. What you're supposed to doing is dependent on what you are and what you're made of. So your ultimate duty, or ultimately what's right, is the pure state of the living entity, which is his eternal nature, which is Krishna's servant. So this is interesting here. Dharanaya, by the conception of Vishnu, Dhira, one becomes pacified, and then one becomes pacified, Hanti, it destroys Malam, the dirty things. So this is what's going to be, this is the first step in God realization. To see things in relationship to God. And therefore, develop a sense of devotion or service. So Prabhupada discusses this. And he discusses it in an interesting way. At first, if you're in passion or ignorance, then you cannot understand God. Then, he said, the impersonalists, they're also still influenced. And the impersonalists, they're also in somewhat of ignorance. What's the ignorance? When you have perfect knowledge, it means the distinct. The mode of goodness means that you can see things clearly. So it's distinction. Just like if it's dark, I was riding on the rickshaw last night, and it was dark. So you couldn't see any of the people. It wasn't distinct. You know, the rickshaw, just as you're coming up, you know, it goes, you know, because all of a sudden you see there's someone there. So when I put on the flashlight, so what did the light do? It made things distinct. So the mode of goodness is illuminating, and therefore one can make distinctions. So the first distinction is that the soul is different than the body. So the impersonalists have that understanding and distinction, so therefore they have some knowledge. But they can't distinguish the soul from the super soul. So it's not perfect, they're still influenced by some type of ignorance. And therefore perfect knowledge is to know matter, spirit, and the controller of both. So that's perfect knowledge. So they have to acquire the sense of God realization. So Prabhupada explains this. To acquire such a qualification of God realization in the personal theater, the neophyte impersonalist is given a chance to realize the relation of the Lord in everything by the philosophy of pantheism. So just by seeing things in relationship to Krishna or God, that's going to be explained. And it's going to be explained both for the materialist and the impersonalist. For the materialist, by seeing God in matter, he develops a sense of his eternal nature, because he develops some reverence, some sense of worship. This is great. Prabhupada describes they worship a tiger, they worship, you know, different things in material, and they ascribe some divinity, there's some connection to God, so they just start developing some reverence for God. Even though it's pantheistic, they're seeing God in many things. They start to develop some sense of reverence. And therefore it becomes purifying, because ultimately what Dharma means is to uncover our eternal nature. So for a materialistic person, it's dharmic, because that type of conception and that type of view, let's say a scientist, he sees trees and he knows what they are, he sees rivers, he knows what they are. So in one sense, you may say that he has greater knowledge, but he doesn't see the ultimate fact about trees, rivers, and mountains. And the ultimate fact about trees, rivers, and mountains is that they are Krishna's energy. So when one starts to see things like that, even if it's a little bit, some imagination is needed, in one sense it's imaginary, but in one sense it's very, very real, because that's actually what something is. So a great atheist or scientist who kind of sees the world and can distinguish everything, he actually doesn't ultimately know what something is. Without the proper intelligence, you can't actually perceive things. To actually have perception, to perceive something, you also need intelligence. Give an example, this machine, if you took it in a very primitive place where they never had any electricity or electronics, then if people would see that, could you say that they're seeing it if they don't have knowledge? Same thing with the holy name. If you have Mayavadi conceptions and you're chanting the holy name, are you actually experiencing it? There must be some knowledge or conception. So if you see things as separate from God, you're in Maya. You're actually an illusion, because this is God's energy. So this pantheistic conception that is called the first step of God realization, for the materialist, it allows him to develop a sense of devotion. There's a great tiger, there's an elephant. You know, they worship things like this. But in the same sense, they get the sense that there's some superior power, and I am a servant, I am a part. So it has a sense of invoking this within. And the same sense for the impersonalist, who see that the material energy, just like in Bhagavad, with a spark of my splendor, I'm pervading everything. So they see it all as Brahman. So at the same time, for the neophyte impersonalist, to start seeing in this way also invokes a sense of devotion in him. Even though the materialist, he gets detachment and devotion, because he starts seeing himself not as the controller and enjoyer, but as the servant. The impersonalist is already detached, but he develops a sense of devotion. Personal experience I had of this, to just kind of explain this, many times I tried to figure out these purports, is many, many years ago I was in the Himalayas, and I was traveling, actually with the Gurukul students. It was very nice. And we took this path on the way back to Vrindavan, and it would just wind around these roads, and you look into these valleys. The Himalayas is not just mountains going high, it's just peaks and peaks and far and far, and valleys and flowers and trees. And, you know, I actually had to get out of the bus just to stop and look at it, and I saw that my chanting was very nice, because I was very humbled, and I was thinking of God's greatness. You know, it invokes some real sense of devotion in me. Where sometimes we go before the deities, and, you know, because we're not intimately connected with the personality which is great, then we may be in a very egoistic way. So for a neophyte person, he has to see God in his creationary role to to invoke the proper conception and consciousness of spirituality, which is I am part and parcel of God. I am his servant. So Prabhupada says, pantheism in the higher status does not permit the student to form an impersonal conception of the absolute truth, but extends the conception of the absolute truth into the so-called material energy. This is going to be described also further on. I think we should just read more verses and see how Yasyam sandaryamanayam yogino bhakti lakshana ashu sampajyate yoga asvayam badram ikshita. O King, by this system of remembrance and by being fixed in the habit of seeing the all-good personal conception of the Lord, one can very soon attain devotional service to the Lord under his direct shelter. So by getting into this habit, so it must be in the scriptures, this type of worship and recommendation must be there. So you get in this habit of remembering Krishna in the world. I don't know who does this type of meditation, but you know, seeing rivers and you know, you meditate on the Virat Purush, you know, the form of the Lord. These are his eyes. And I guess people, you know, becoming purified, having this conception, it's very, very purifying. It's invoking devotion. There's other purpose where Prabhupada says that. How in primitive societies they worship like thunderbolts and, but it's a sense of, you know, it's their devotion. So yasyam, by this system, and it says sandayamanayam, and thus being fixed, thus being fixed in this system, being fixed in this habit. So it's like a habit, training your mind, training your consciousness how to view the world. Which seeing Badram, the all good, by seeing God everywhere, then asu, very soon, sampajyate, you attain success and this bhakti lakshanam. There's symptoms of devotion come by practicing this, and then you come under Krishna's shelter. So this is the first step in God realization. I think we have, Prabhupada says, pantheism, or the system of feeling the presence of Almighty everywhere, is a sort of training of the mind to be accustomed to the devotional conception. And it is this devotional attitude of the mystics that makes possible the successful termination of such mystic attempts. Evidently, it's a process where somehow mystics and others can become involved and bring their conceptions into some kind of devotional sense by this kind of meditation. One is not, however, elevated to such successful status without the tinge of a mixture in devotional service. Without devotional service, any process cannot achieve perfection. Whether it's jnana, yoga, etc., there must be some system of worship. Because ultimately, the inspiration and the knowledge comes by the mercy of God. So in all systems, there's some kind of worship, deity worship, etc. So it wouldn't be unusual for some kind of pantheistic view also to develop. The devotional atmosphere created by pantheistic vision develops into devotional service in later days. And that is the only benefit to the impersonalist. And somehow it develops into a devotional conception after doing this for some time. It's some kind of training for the mind. So now Parikshit Maharaj, he heard this, that, you know, you can develop a devotional conception by some kind of pantheistic vision of the world. So now he's going to ask, how can we do it? What's going to be interesting is that after the description of it, it's also going to be rejected for Maharaj Parikshit. Because it's all these things that, you know, in this chapter and the next chapter. The next chapter will describe the super soul. So there's going to be a gradual progression. And then the next chapter, the demigods. All systems of a type of worship. But what will happen in each description is that The culmination will be is that beyond the universal form is Krishna, so we should just worship Krishna. You know, it's being explained to him, not as a pantheist, but as a devotee. So you explain it, behind the material world is Krishna, so we should worship Krishna. It's his energy, so why not worship Krishna? Rather than just have to meditate on the energy in relationship to him, why not just worship Krishna? So Maharaj Prickett then asks about the system. He wants to know the details. Yata sandayate brahman darayana yata samata yajasiva harerashu purushasya manomalam. Manomalam, so he's interested of the mind, the dirty things. He wants to have, they can be removed, because in the previous verse, he said that you can clarify such conceptions by hunti malam. You can destroy the malam, the dirty. It's like the Bhagavad is amalam purana, without dirt, it's pure. You can destroy the malam, the dirt. Asru. And he said, asru, the previous verse was ashu, very, very quickly. So he said, ashu, without delay, these things can be removed. I want to hear samatha in summary. Dharana, this conception, and yatra, where and how it can be done. And sandhayate, how this conception is made. I want to understand about this because it can destroy hanti malam, the dirty things in the heart, ashu, very, very quickly. So I want to hear about it and how it can be destroyed. Where, yatra, where and how. Sandhayate, this conception is made. Yadrasi, by which malam, the dirty things, purushasya of a person, mana, mind, harek, are extricated, ashu, without delay. So now please describe to me this system. And why is he interested? Prabhupada explains in the purport. The dirty things in the heart of a conditioned soul are the root cause of all trouble for him. We are suffering because of sinful reactions, and sinful reactions are due to material desire. The material desire is due to avidya or ignorance. He wants to know how to get this knowledge and how to free oneself of these dirty things, these desires and misconceptions in the heart. Because this is what causes all our suffering, our misconceptions and our attachments. The root of all problems is this. So we want to rid ourselves of the misconceptions and we want to purify ourselves of the attachment. A conditioned soul is surrounded by the many-fold miseries of material existence, but on account of his gross ignorance, he is unable to remove the troubles due to the dirty things in his heart accumulated. In other words, he's meant to serve the will of the Lord. His desire should be how Krishna can be pleased. But on account of the dirty things in his heart, he likes to serve his concocted desires. So this is the material world. We serve our concocted desires. And therefore we become absorbed in the bodily concept of life, which enables us to do this, rather than actually serving Krishna. And these desires, instead of giving him peace of mind, create new problems, and you're bound. So these dirty things can be removed only by association with the Supreme Lord. So for someone, as Prabhupada is explaining, who has not yet developed the purity of heart and the elevation of knowledge to accept and understand Krishna as that Supreme Personality of Godhead, then he can associate with Krishna through his energies, by approaching Krishna's energies in a way that is connected to him. It gives some kind of association with Krishna and one becomes purified. Prabhupada explains this. The Lord, being omnipotent, can offer his association by his inconceivable energy, potencies. The persons who are unable to put their faith on the personal feature of the Absolute Truth are given a chance to associate with his Virat Rupa. Virat means the universe, the form of the universe. It's just like the body, you know, you almost, Prabhupada said, there was a verse, you know, there's the president. You've only seen his car. But you said, there's the president, because you know it's his car. So there's association with the external and the internal. In the first canto, there was an elaborate description of the universal form. And I should go back and study that a bit, because it described so many points about the universal form, how it's a little imaginary and what it does and how it purifies one. It was much more of a philosophical exposition on that. I think it was in the third chapter of the first canto. So the persons are unable to put their faith in they worship the cosmic impersonal feature. The cosmic impersonal feature of the Lord is a feature of his unlimited potency. Impersonal because, he says, by a spark of my splendor, I'm pervading this whole universe. So this whole universe is a manifestation of Krishna's energy. Since the potent and potencies are identical, even the conception of his impersonal cosmic feature helps the conditioned soul to associate with the Lord indirectly and thus gradually rise to the stage of personal contact. So it's somehow or other having a conception of connecting God's energies to God. Even if you have still a bit of an impersonal conception, it's somehow or other purified. It's somehow or other an indirect association with God, because there's some conception of God in there. Even we see that, like if those are Prabhupada's glasses, so you think of Prabhupada. Of course, a little bit different, and that's purifying. So, in one sense, it's Krishna's energy, and if you begin to see it in that way, you're associating with Krishna in your thoughts, and you're becoming purified to some extent. It's also recommended in the Bhagavad Gita when it says, Bhumir apo nalo vayu kama no buddhu eva ahankar idiyam nebina. This is my energy. And therefore, at meditation, I'm the water, by seeing that God is the material and efficient cause of everything. Material cause means what it's made out of. An efficient cause means that it's the doer. To seeing God as the essence of everything, also in Bhagavad Gita. So he's asking this. It says, the non-devotee class of men, see, he's asking for others, the Sukadeva Goswami, how to apply the mind, where and how to apply it. But he inquired after a detailed description of the matter for the benefit of others who are unable to conceive of the transcendental personal feature of the Lord as the form of eternal knowledge of bliss. It's very, very difficult with your material conceptions to have faith to worship Krishna. Because we see him as limited and therefore not God. Because we see him in a form. We tend to relativize him. And it's hard for the materialistic person to have a personal conception of the absolute truth. The non-devotee class of men can think of the personal feature of the Lord because of their poor fund of knowledge. The personal form of the Lord, like Ram or Krishna, is completely revolting to them. So for the benefit of men who are unable to accept the Lord in his personal feature, Maharaj Pickett inquired from Sukadeva Goswami how to fix the mind in the beginning. And the detailed reply will follow. Now he has Sukadeva Goswami's answer. Sri Shuka Uvacha, Jitasano, Jitaswaso, Jitasango, Jitendriya, Stule Bhagavato Rupe, Mana Sandarayet, Diya. So Sukadeva Goswami answered, one should control the sitting posture, Chitasana. Regulate the breathing process by the yogic pranayam. That's chitasana. And thus control the mind and the senses, and with intelligence apply the mind to the gross potency of the Lord called Virat Rupa. So this is also, it's not kid stuff. It's Jitasano, Jitendriya, Citta Sangha, you got to control your association. Evidently, it's not just someone, you know, walking through the forest and whistling, you know, looking at the birds, but it's some kind of meditation. So somehow or other, the Vedas have that. And it says, stule, and you must apply, sundariate, you must apply man of the mind, stule, in rupe stule, stule bhagavato rupe, in the form, the feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or the mind, it says, to the gross potencies of the Lord. The gross potencies in the form, feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he says, this is what you should do. Control yourself and apply the mind to thinking of the world in a particular conception, in a particular way. And Prabhupada said, purport, the materially absorbed mind of the conditioned soul does not allow him to transcend the limit of the bodily conception of self. And thus the yoga system for meditation, controlling the sitting posture and breathing process and fixing the mind upon the Supreme, is prescribed in order to mold the character of the gross materialist. Unless such materialists are able to cleanse the material absorbed mind, it is impossible for them to concentrate on thoughts of transcendence. So basically what this is explains, that you have to purify the mind of your association with the material world. So to do that, you have to have some conception to meditate, put the mind on. So if you do not see the Lord's personal form as transcendental, then having that process will not help you get from the material world. So if for some reason if you have strong material desires and therefore you see greatness in terms of matter, then to kind of transcend the world, you have to meditate on the world, but in a particular way. Or if you are impersonalist, you know, it's a little less threatening for you, but it has some personal conception. In other words, and Prabhupada, such a wonderful point, that to mold the character of the gross materialist and cleanse the mind, they have to concentrate their thoughts upon transcendence. So because of their deficiencies in knowledge and conception and purity, it's limited to what form of transcendence they can meditate on to clear the materially absorbed mind. So this is really the first step for the materialist. And to do so, one may fix one's mind on the gross material or external feature of the Lord. So this is there. So Prabhupada in the purport says, he is therefore recommended to fix his gross materialistic mind by a different conception and thus realize the potency of the Lord. As soon as the potencies are understood to be instrumental manifestations of the transcendence, one automatically advances to the next step, and gradually the full stage of full realization becomes possible. So as soon as you understand the potencies or instruments or energies of the transcendence and make that connection, then you go to the higher step. So there's some kind of psychological, spiritual, mechanical process that's going on here that's being recommended. And I think and you can see, again, although this is not our process, elements of it are, because when we see the Bhagavad Gita, and we see the 7th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, the 9th chapter, the 10th, Krishna's vibhutis are explained to help us develop a sense of his greatness so that we become inspired to be his servant. So it's also, you see, the elements are also there in our process. In other words, to become a servant, you have to recognize a master. Master means superior. If your level of realization is gross, then your standard of superior is in terms of matter. And therefore, for you to develop a mood of servitude, you have to see divinity in terms of matter, in terms of power and opulence. And because Krishna is not manifesting that, you won't become his servant, because you won't see him as great. You'll see him as like you. He's limited, he has a form, he does such activities. It won't be possible for you in that materialistic, the grossly materialistic absorbed mind, to develop servitude in relationship to the form of Krishna and the character, the personality of Krishna. It's got to be done externally in that way. Visheshastasya dehoyam stavitashtastaviyasam yatredam vyajate vishvam bhutam bhavyam bhavatjasat. This gigantic manifestation of the phenomenal material world as a whole is the personal body of the Absolute Truth, whereas the universal resultant past, present, and future material time is experienced. So, Prabhupada discusses further. Are there any questions so far on the universal form? Yes. Speak loudly.
Is there a difference between the seeing God and Nature and then the universal form?
It's the same concept. It's the same concept.
It seems like what Arjuna saw was kind of a higher realization and just looking through the mirror of those kinds of things.
It was everything, awe-inspiring at once. Yeah, it was. The meditation is an imagination. It's just like this. The way the creation is that Krishna manifests the material elements, Karana Dakshay Vishnu. Then as Garbha Dakshay Vishnu, he enters into it. He enters into each universe. So the universe becomes like his body. There's some kind of, it's his energy and it becomes like his body. So by meditating on the universe as the body of God, in relation to him, you can become purified. But at the same time, because it's his energy, he can manifest that form also. And to Arjuna, he manifests that form. The Virat Rupa, he actually manifests that form. But it's not necessarily that's an eternal form of the Lord. He has a connection with the universe because it's his body and he animates it. Just like we have a connection with our body because the soul animates the body. So he can also manifest that. And if you read the universal form, it was everything in one place, beyond time and space. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. And therefore, as it's God's body, it has some divinity. There's more technical points about this too. It has something to do with the creation of the universe and like the blueprint which Brahma creates from. The points. But I think the basic point is that there's a connection between God's energy and God. And to see that connection is actually seeing reality. and it'll develop some devotional sentiment in one. In other words, it frees one from Maya, because what is Maya? Maya means that things are God's energy and you're not seeing it as God's energy. So the universal form automatically helps you to see matter in relationship to God. So in that sense, it's purifying. Okay, any other questions on this? So this gigantic manifestation, it says, this all phenomena, all of all matter, as his body, as his personal body, as the personal body of the Absolute Truth, the Shesha, Deha, the personal body, Staviyasam, of all matter and all phenomena of the Absolute Truth. You see it in that way. Prabhupada says the relative world is also his phenomenal representation, because there is nothing but an expansion of his transcendental energy. The phenomenal manifestation of the gigantic universe is only a part of his virat body. Less intelligent men cannot conceive of the transcendental all-spiritual form of the Lord, but they are astounded by his different energies. Just as the aborigines are struck with wonder by the manifestation of lightning, a gigantic mountain, or a hugely expanded banyan tree, the aborigines praise the strength of